appreciate your prayers this morning. I'd like to look in the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter. I'd like to read a little bit about the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, verse 3. Said, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I want to drop now down to the 13th verse. He said, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. I'm thinking the Lord here is talking about the different conditions of the heart. And he mentions here that this people's heart is waxed gross. And what I've understood from that word is it's the thickness. It's like a callus, where the skin is hardened and thickened and where it becomes insensitive. And that's what he's talking about people's hearts, that it gets to a place where it becomes insensitive. It's hard or hardened. And I want to particularly notice the first two. We'll read down in verse 19. Verse 18 says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So the word of God came, but it was a wayside. It was the place where people had walked, and it was a hardness there. And it said the fowls of the air came. Now, earlier on, he said, it said the fowls of the air came. And this one, it said the wicked one came. You know, when God's word is given to us or presented to us, it's the seed that is sown in our hearts. I mean, it comes to our mind, our understanding, and it's there for our good and for our blessing. But you know, every time it is, the enemy comes also at that time. And he brings the fowls many times in scriptures represent spirits. He talked about the fowls came and devoured it. And then here he said the wicked one came and took the word. The enemy will bring thoughts also. And his thoughts nullify the seed that was sown. And the enemy has all kinds of things. I remember as a young person, the enemy would bring to my thoughts, well, you, Wait till you get a little bit older, you can serve the Lord. Just anything that contradicts what God has said. That was the way it happened with Adam and Eve. When the tempter came, he said, "You'll not surely die." He contradicted what God had told them. He lied to them. And the enemy takes away the effect of what God wants to grow and produce in our lives by His thoughts. And that happens so much if there's a hard heart. It just, the enemy comes and he takes away, and they're not able to comprehend. I also want to, verse 20, it said, "He that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended." Now here's somebody that had some earth. I believe it mentions in the first part that we read, it said, "Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth." In other words, there was a lot of rocks there, but there was a little bit of earth. And the seed penetrated that, and it said they received it with joy. And immediately it sprung up. It began to give life. And it began to produce. But there wasn't any depth there to that. There was some hard places underneath the surface where the roots couldn't get down. And when the sun was risen up, and he said, when tribulation or persecution ariseth, immediately it is scorched. I was thinking about that today because I know in life there have been many people that have started out in the Christian life. But people have become hurt. People have become offended. Many times at God, many times at the people of God. And I want to say offenses will come in this life. And sad to say, it even happens around the people of God, the saints. Many times there's misunderstandings. People say things that shouldn't be said. And people get hurt. Many people are offended. But we'll never be in a situation and we'll never find a people where there's no offenses. Jesus told us that. He said offenses will come. So we need to have some root. He said there was no root in himself. There wasn't enough below the surface to support and sustain what was above. And he got offended one way or another. And he gave up. Lord, help us today to be able to have a depth in our spiritual lives that's underneath the surface that people don't see, that is there to support us and sustain us in time of difficulty and trouble. And when things aren't going well, there's something there that we're able to still have life coming into us when the things that are above ground are hard and difficult. We still have a root system down there that is giving us life and sustaining us in the times of drought, in the times of discouragement, in the times where it looks like God is not answering prayer. You know, below the surface, I want to say sometimes there can be some hard places in our hearts. You know, we may have a desire to live for God. We may have some earth. But there can be some hard places in our heart, in our spirit, of unwillingness and resistance against the Spirit of God. And I want to tell us today that the Lord is very patient. He's very long-suffering. And He gives us time to be able to gain ground in those areas and allow. And I want to say, too, the condition of our heart is our responsibility this morning. It's not something that has been predetermined and, well, I've just got a wayside heart. That's just the way I am. No, it's my responsibility today to manage the ground of my heart. That it's something that God can use and something that the seed can grow and the roots can grow in my life. And it supports and sustains me when times are difficult. I'm thinking about the hidden life this morning and how important it is to us. And we've heard some about it this morning in this meeting, but Brother Michael, I'm not going to say a whole lot about prayer because we had a whole message on it yesterday. But our prayer life is part of the hidden life. It's the part that people don't really see. And it's so vital for us to have that prayer life intact and in place because it's what's below what people see. And it's what is going to sustain us and strengthen us and help us is our prayer life, having a deep communion and being able to open our hearts up to God and give ourselves to Him in prayer. That's part of the hidden life. You know, the Lord wants us to be able to deal with those places of hardness that we might have in our hearts, in our lives. Those places that we might be unwilling. Those places. And I think about Peter when the Lord was getting ready to wash his feet. Peter said, "You'll never wash my feet." There was some unwillingness here. And I know how Peter felt. But it was wrong for Peter to be that way. And I think about they had walked together for 3.5 years. They slept together. They lived together. They worked together. The Lord loved them. And it came down to this little thing. It looks little. It looks kind of insignificant. And he said, "You'll never wash my feet." But Jesus answered him, and the Lord had 3.5 years invested into Peter. The Lord was counting on him. But he said, "If I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me." Do you know hardness and stubbornness against the Spirit of God will cost us in the long run? And the Lord knows that. And I want to say the Lord is patient with us and He works with us. But that stubbornness and that hardness, that resistance, that self-will has to be broken somewhere or another. Or what happens after a while if it is never broken and if it just stays hard and stony under the surface? That's what happens when people get hurt and get offended. Something happens down the road and they get upset, and they're off on their way. And it's because there was something, it's not the offense. It's because there was not enough root in them to sustain them. I thought about different places that was also mentioned about Samuel. You remember Samuel and Saul? When he told him to go destroy the Amalekites. And he went and did a big part of what God had told him to do. He made the effort to go there. But he really didn't obey what God had told him to do. There was some self-will. There was some self there. And God doesn't, just like with the Lord and Peter, the Lord doesn't overlook those places. Because He knows that if we're going to survive, if we're going to see the end of a Christian life in victory, those stubborn places, those hard resistance, is there any place in our heart and our life where we'll say, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to follow that. I'm not going to give myself that much. The Lord gave His all to us. The Lord surrendered His all to us. And He wants us to be able to give our all back to Him and surrender ourselves to Him. And it's very important that we do that. And I know it's a one-time deal. I know there's an initial place where we come and we surrender our hearts to the Lord. But you know it happens all through our life. And it's because we always have a choice. You know, I thought about Jesus in the garden. When He was in the garden, what was He doing? Again, He was surrendering His will. He had already done that early in life. He had already been doing that throughout His life. But there was another choice before Him. And I was wondering, I've been thinking, if the Lord hadn't been surrendering His life through those different periods of His life, would He have been able to endure the cross? Would He had enough root in Him? Would He had enough spiritual vitality? Would He had enough discernment in His life? Would He had enough strength and courage to have been able to go through the cross? If He hadn't been through His life setting that example and that pattern of giving Himself and surrendering Himself into the will of God, I doubt if He would have been able to do it. You know, Abraham's life, there wasn't just one test, but it was a succession. And when the time came for him to offer up his son, he had some experiences, he had some places that he had already been surrendering to in his heart and life. And if he would have not have done that, I don't think he would have been in the place to be willing to give his son. But because those places that God was working in his life and he had been surrendering himself, there was some root of faith that he had. There was some confidence in God that enabled him at this time also to say, "Not my will, but thine be done." I think about also when it comes to some of the major decisions that we make in our life. You know, there are some big decisions that we make in life. Who we marry, what our occupation is going to be in life, what we're going to do. Those are big decisions that are lifelong that affect us. But if we're not making those little decisions, seeking God's will, having that consecration and submitting ourselves in those little places, are we going to succeed when the big decisions come? Are we going to have enough discernment to be able to recognize the will of God? If I've just been going in all these other choices and decisions, I'm just going, doing my own thing. How are we going to know the voice of God when the big decision comes? How are we going to have that root establishment that's going to give me an understanding of how God is working in my life? It's not going to be there. So it's a succession. It's a building block. And that's why it's so important for us to yield ourselves to God and allow Him to work in our hearts and our lives. There are so many things that are under the surface of our lives. I thought about Jesus in one place. He talked about, He said, when you give, He said, don't sound the trumpet. Don't let everybody know what you're doing. When you pray, don't be praying to be seen of men. If our motivation is coming by because of what people think and to be seen of men, it's going to cause us not to have a root system. That's something that's seen when we're just doing it to be seen of men. That's surface. That's surface. But he said, do it in secret. When we have that relationship, when we're doing the will of God from the heart, when we're serving Him from the heart, not because of what people are looking at and what people are seeing, that's developing something underneath the roots. That's developing integrity in our hearts and character in our hearts and our lives. That gives us depth. Lord, help us today. And I believe God is faithful to help us to recognize places. I know there have been places in my life that I've struggled seeing the will of God. Jesus did it. He struggled at the cross. His flesh drew back. There's going to be times when we do that too. There's going to be times when our flesh is going to draw back. But Lord, help us today at those times to keep praying. You know, He had to go and pray several different times until victory came. Lord, help us keep praying, to keep submitting, to keep surrendering. Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. And when we do that, God, we begin to understand the will of God. When Abraham, you remember when he offered up his son? He was willing, he made that choice. He pulled up the knife. The angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, okay, I know that you're willing. And he was, after that, he was able to see a sacrifice that God, that was there that he didn't see before. And he named that place, it said, I don't remember the name that he called it, but it said, in the mountain of the Lord, it will be seen. When you and I surrender our hearts, that's where God gives us spiritual understanding. That's where the Lord opens our spiritual eyes. But if we just have a resistance in our heart, and if we have a push off that I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to follow that path. We may never understand what God's will is for us. People do that in their lives and they never understand. They never gain spiritual knowledge and understanding because there's some hardness and there's some resistance down under the surface, down deep in their hearts. And they fail to grow and discern and understand what God has. I want to challenge us today. The Lord is faithful to talk to us. He's faithful to deal. But when we have some resistance, and we can see it many times in our earthly relationships, between husband and wife, between employer and employee, in our relationships that we have in life, it's a picture, it's a reflection of our relationship with God. And if we've got some resistance, if we've got places of pushback, resistance, it's the same thing in our relationship with God. Lord, help us today if we have those places in our heart to be willing to acknowledge and pray and ask God to help us. Because the condition of our heart, the fertileness of our heart, is the responsibility that we have. Our garden, we used to have a garden back here in the back. And boy, we would put the horse manure on it. We'd haul leaves on it. And that garden, I loved to walk out into it. It was like you could walk it. It was like you was walking on a sponge. Your feet would sink in when you'd step into it. But when it's allowed to just sit, what happens to it? It gets hard. Just by sitting, not doing nothing to it, not taking one of those compactors they do before they pour concrete, you know, that packs it real down and makes a hard surface. Just by sitting and it not doing anything, it gets hard. You know, when the Scripture, He said, break up your fallow ground, that word fallow, that's what that is referring to. It's ground that has just been allowed to sit and to be idle there. And the rains come and the winds blow and it gets hard. And He said, break up your fallow ground. Break up that fallow ground. And God wants us today. And that's one of the purposes that we have for these meetings for. Because the Spirit of the Lord begins to reveal and show us things about ourselves. Lord, help us not to have a resistance. There's verses that talk about in Proverbs, it says, every man's way is right in his own eyes. That's dangerous for us. That's dangerous for us just to make choices and decisions, and I don't have that root system that I'm getting understanding from the Lord, from the Spirit of the Lord that helps me to see things that are below the surface. If I don't have that root system down there, I want to make all my choices and decisions just by what I see with my fleshly eyes. Lot and Abraham, you remember when they parted? It said Lot lifted up his eyes and he chose the plain that was well watered. It looked good. It said it called it like the garden that was down in Egypt. It was a fruitful place. It just looked so good. And that's what he went by. And he made a bad decision. Because he pitched his tent in the wrong direction. Sodom and Gomorrah already had a reputation. And he didn't pitch his tent in Sodom and Gomorrah. He just pitched it towards it. But I don't feel like he had that root system that Abraham had. He didn't have that depthness of spirit. He didn't have much earth where the spirit could work. Abraham looked and he said, Lot, you choose. He told him, he said, you choose. Abraham, Lot was there because of Abraham. Abraham, by right, should have had the first choice. Because he was a nephew and he was there with him. But he said, you look out and you choose. You go that way and I'll go this way. Whatever you want. He had a faith, a confidence in God that God would work things out for him. That God would bless him despite what he wasn't going to get. He had a contact. He had a system, a root system in his life that enabled him. And Lot didn't have that. Lot just what looked good. Oh, let me encourage us and challenge us today to work on the hidden life. To work on that place that people don't see. Those places that will be our focus. That we would have a strong root system that would help us to endure. That would help us when the storms come and go. When people get offended and they walk away. That would help stabilize me. That would help keep me in a place with God that I'm not moved. And regardless of what the future holds, you know, he said here, because of persecution or tribulation, I'm confident this morning that you and I need to be establishing our root system. We need a strong root system. We don't know what the future holds. And the time to put down roots is now, not when the storm is here. We need something before the storm gets here to enable us to be able to go through and be what God wants us to be. Help us, Lord, to have that hidden life. Help us to have that broken ground, that fertile ground. That's our responsibility today, to have that ground for God to be able to work with and use. Appreciate your attention. Pray for me.